Morning. Morning. I'm a little tired this morning. A little football game last night. Before we get into what we're talking about today, do you guys realize that today is Hub City Church's 9th birthday? Happy birthday, Hub City Church. And not only that, I see you, Jason. This is the 1-year anniversary where Oak Grove and Hub City merged. And so that's pretty exciting. So I'm really pumped of all that God's done over the past year and what he's going to do. And got to give a big shout out to all the people who showed up yesterday to help us move some pews and move some chairs. And we got another church that's coming to get this section of pews tomorrow. And so it was just, I appreciate everybody's help. But I was sitting there while we were singing and thinking about some of the stuff that God has done in some of your lives over the past few years. And as I look out, I mean, I see the homes back there on the back row, as they always are, who were there on our first Sunday 9 years ago. Where's are Brian and Callie in here? I know Brian was there. You're hiding over there, Brian. What are you like on Facebook, man? You're like down like that? No, you don't do Facebook. So it's Twitter. Sorry, my bad. But, you know, Brian was there our first Sunday, and I just think of the relationships, and it's just cool. It was a little emotional there thinking about that, and we're not having a party or anything today, but this is an important day in my history and our history as a church family together. And just think about it. 1 year from today, we get to celebrate the Big Ten, the Big 1-0. We move into double digits, you know? It's pretty exciting, so... Oh, happy birthday, everyone. Happy birthday. So we're going to jump into what we're going to talk about, and I want to do a little survey this morning. Survey, I'll play along. How many of you feel like you regularly get plenty of sleep? Anybody in the room regularly feel like you get plenty of sleep? We got one, maybe two. So how many of you wish you could get more sleep? Yeah, that would be the majority of us, right? Like some of you are like, you wish you were sleeping right now. Some of you are sleeping right now. Yeah, I mean, the truth is, all of us wish we could, for the most part, wish we could get more sleep. At least there are times in our lives where we wish we could get more sleep. I came across an article this week on the BBC's website, and the title of the article grabbed my attention. It was Arrogance of Ignoring the Need for Sleep. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So I read the article, and the main point of the article is to warn against what they call the supreme arrogance of trying to do without sufficient sleep. I mean, what was fascinating to me to learn that we sleep on average 1 to 2 hours less than people did 60 years ago, and 2.5 hours less than people did 100 years ago. I just find that fascinating. We sleep that much less. And they said in the article that all of this sleeping less is having a devastating impact on every part of our lives. I mean, cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, infections, and obesity have all been linked to reduced sleep. In other words, there's an enormous downside to our modern society where we're always on the go. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we're always making something happen. And that downside is that we are living against, what they said in the article, our natural body clocks. Which means that, what they didn't say, because they're not coming from a Christian perspective, but we're living against the way God created us to live when it comes to sleep. We're trying to do life in a different way, and that never turns out well. Actually, there are all kinds of damaging consequences to not getting enough sleep. I mean, you know some of the consequences. If you watch the news ever, there's like a study that comes out every third day that has to do with the damaging effects of not getting enough sleep. I mean, these physical consequences are things like chronic sleep deprivation has been linked to a loss of brain tissue, which should concern some of you because you're already at a deficit when it comes to your brain tissue. And so I'm just saying, and then it's been linked to an increased risk of infection, to stroke, to cancer, to high blood pressure, to heart disease, even infertility. I thought this was interesting. Sleep loss increases hunger, which can lead to weight gain. Study after study shows that not getting enough sleep, or that if we do get enough sleep, we can prevent infection and maintain a healthy body weight. So there are physical consequences to not sleeping enough. There's also relational consequences. I think all of us would admit that there have been times when we didn't get enough sleep and we woke up and we were grumpy, a little moody. Some of you were like that this morning, right? I mean, and we all know that being grumpy and moody is That's not good. Don't stop looking at Karen like that, Randy. Being grumpy and moody is not good for relationships, right? I mean, it's just not good. There are intellectual consequences to not getting enough sleep. Like, we don't think clearly if we don't get enough sleep. Our thinking gets muddled. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but there are spiritual consequences to not getting enough sleep. Like, we can't be the followers of Jesus that we're created to be if we're not getting enough sleep, because our bodies and our minds aren't functioning the way that they need to function for us to follow Jesus the way that we need to follow Jesus. That's why I love this quote by Don Carson. He says, sometimes the godliest thing you can do is get a good night's sleep. Not pray all night, but sleep. I love that. I'm like, amen. You know, I thought that was good. But since there are so many consequences to not sleeping well, and since it's such an important part of our lives, I mean, we spend around 30% of our lives sleeping, and there are few things that impact our lives as much as sleep. Since we all, almost all of us, two of you said that you get plenty of sleep, but the rest of us, you know, say that we could use more sleep, then I think that maybe sleep is something that we should talk about. But the question is, why in the world would we talk about sleep in our worship gathering? I mean, I know that some of you regularly sleep during our worship gathering, but why talk about it at our worship gathering? Why spend time talking about this? I mean, I was thinking this week, I've been going to church since I was born. I have never heard one single sermon on sleep. Never one. So why should we talk about it here? Well, the thing is, it's not just the researchers and the scientists and the psychologists who are talking about the importance of sleep, but Scripture, God, through Scripture, has a lot to say about the subject of sleep as well, which shouldn't surprise us, right? If God created us to function a certain way, don't you think he would address important issues about how we should function? And so he addresses this issue of sleep all throughout Scripture. And I just want us to look at a few passages this morning to talk about it and see what we can gather from them. I want to encourage you to take some notes, to write some down on the back of your bulletin there, so you can take this home, because remember, the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. You're going to remember 90% more of what you write down than what you don't write down. So write some of this stuff down. But first passage I want us to look at comes out of Psalm chapter 3. It's just one verse. David's writing, and look at what David says. He says, I lay down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Now this sounds like all nice and good from David, but what you got to do is you got to figure out where this comes in the context of the psalm. And David, when he writes Psalm 3, He's doing it when he's literally running for his life. His son Absalom had staged a coup, had taken over the country, and was actually trying to kill his father. He was on this mission to try and take his dad out. And so you have David, who's being chased by his son. I mean, just imagine that for a minute. That's not bad, if that's not bad enough. He's not just being chased. He's being chased so that his son could kill him, right? And it's at the end of this that David says, he can lie down and sleep? I mean, that doesn't seem to make sense. Like, why in the world could David say, I can lie down and sleep? I think it's because David is acknowledging that God is taking care of him. In the midst of this very challenging and difficult situation, God is taking care of David. And I don't know if you've ever thought about your sleep on these terms or not. I hope you do after today. But sleep is sort of like a prayer where we say to God, I'm not in control, but you are. Because how much can you control while you're asleep? Like zero. Can't control your dreams. That's why you have weird ones, right? When we sleep, we're saying to God, I'm not in control, you are. And I'm trusting you to take care of me in the situation that I'm in. See, I think it's really easy, especially for those of us who've been Christians for a whole long time, and maybe we grew up, went to Vacation Bible School, and we sang, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands. It's easy for us to say, he's got the whole world in his hands. But it's a lot more difficult to act like he has my world and your world in his hands. But what sleep does is sleep acknowledges to God, it's like a prayer where we acknowledge to God, that not only does he have the whole world in his hands, but he's got our world in his hands. It's an act of trust where he's like, he's taking care of us. I love that. Let's look at another psalm. This comes out of the very next chapter. Different scenario, but David's writing, and he writes this, in peace, I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the last verse of Psalm chapter 4, and if you read the first 7 verses of Psalm chapter 4, what you discover is David's really just begging God for help. He needs God's help, and so he's presenting his request to God. And then at the end, after he's presented his request to God, what he does is he says that now in peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. In this verse, what David does is he proclaims his trust in God. Like, have you ever thought that sleep is an indicator of your trust in God? Sleep is a way that you say to God, God, you know what? I need your help. I'm in the middle of something. I got this going on. Things aren't going. I'm frustrated in this way. You know, work's not going well. My body's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. I've got all these requests. I'm laying them before you. But I'm going to sleep now because I'm going to let you take care of it. I'm going to stop worrying about it, God. I've presented my request to you. Now I'm just going to step back and let you do what you're supposed to do, and I'm just going to go to sleep. God, it's all you. I mean, can you imagine what your day would be like at the end of your day before you crawled into bed, if you took all of your requests and concerns and frustrations and fears and worries and doubts, and you just laid them before the throne of grace, and you just went to bed and didn't worry about them anymore? Some of you'd sleep a lot better if you did that, right? I mean, one of the things that keeps you awake at night is all those things that you're worried about, you're stressed about, you're concerned about, and you're laying there and you can't shut your mind off. And what David does is he shuts his mind off. He just says, here it is, God. I'm going to bed. You take care of it. I'm going to bed, God. It's all you. I just think that is an incredible example to us that we should just lay our requests before God at night and then go to bed. Sleep in peace, knowing that he's going to take care of us and he's going to take care of all that we have going on. I'll show you another passage out of Psalms. David seemed to talk about sleep a lot. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. This is the entire psalm is a great psalm. Actually, on your bulletin, there's the scripture readings for this week. I have you reading through all of the entire psalms of these this week, so make sure you grab that so you can do the scripture readings this week. But in Psalm 127, David writes this. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. I love this psalm, and I think the reason why I love this psalm is because it's a reminder to me that all of my work and all of our work is useless, or using the word that this psalm uses, it's all vain apart from God. Like, everything we do is vain apart from God, which is the exact opposite of how we live on a regular basis, right? I mean, it's the exact opposite of how our society works, because we act like we've got to be going, 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 and doing, 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 and going, 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 and doing, doing, doing. And if we don't do our part, like if we take a break and sleep for a little bit and we don't do what we're supposed to do, then our world is just going to fall apart because it's all dependent upon us. But what the psalm tells us is that's all vain. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. It's vain. We forget that so often that it is God who works on our behalf, and we should be working with him, not in place of him. Let me say that again, because that's big. We forget that we should be working with God and not in place of God. So often we take on God's job. And let's just admit that that's never worked out well, right? Never. But we do it all the time. But what this psalm invites us to do is to work with God instead of in place of God. And then when we do that, we get an incredible gift. It says that he gives sleep to the ones he loves. What a great gift. Sleep is a gift. Now, I know that we don't think of sleep as a gift a lot of times. I mean, instead, I don't feel this way because every time I wake up in the morning and it's a good night's sleep, I'm like, thank you, God, you know, for a good night's sleep. I'm so grateful for a good night's sleep. But we think sleep a lot of times is just a waste of time. Like, you know why it's a waste of time? Because we have so much to do. I mean, we got a to-do list. You know, you list people. You know, you've got all these things that you got to check off of your list. And if you sleep, man, you're not going to get to items 7, 8, 9, 10 through infinity. You know, if you go to, it's just a waste of your time to sleep. Why waste your time doing something? Why couldn't you be making so much better use of your time if you're not sleeping? But this psalm says that that's vain work. It's useless work. And so that type of overwork, that type of workaholism, it's just vain. That is what is a waste, according to this psalm. Sleep, on the other hand, it's not a waste. It's a gift. It's an act of trust. It's a gift from the God who loves you. It's like a present that he gives us every single day, this gift of sleep. And when we sleep, it's a way that we respond to the gift by saying to God, God, you're in control. You're the one who's in charge of our lives, not us. But it wasn't just the psalmist who talks about sleep. One of my favorite stories in the Bible when it comes to sleep is one that involves Jesus. And that's because we find Jesus asleep at one of the most inopportune times. Let me kind of read the story to you. It's in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. It says, as evening came, Jesus had been teaching all day. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. So just picture this scene in your mind for just a little bit. Jesus and the disciples are in a boat, and they're in the middle of the lake, and we think that's not really a big deal, but at this time, you know, if a storm came up, there was this kind of a storm, it could flip the boat. I mean, lives were at stake here. It was a dire situation. Things were not good. People are like freaking out. People are panicking. These are people who are used to being on the water and they're freaking out and panicking. And what's Jesus doing? Verse 38. Jesus was what? Sleeping. He was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Like Jesus in the middle of the storm, taking a nap. He's not concerned at all. I mean, I just think it's crazy. I mean, lives were at stake here. People could die. And what is Jesus, the Son of God, doing? He's taking a nap. Now, I don't know if taking a nap is always the best thing to do in the middle of a crisis, but it might be. I mean, seriously, it might be. Why? Because when you're asleep, you're actually trusting God that he's going to take care of you. It's an act of trust where you're acknowledging that he is the one who is in control. Now, if you know the rest of the story, they wake Jesus up, and if I was Jesus, I would have thrown him overboard because they woke me up. But he wakes him up, and then he calms the storm, and everything's good, you know. Basically, Jesus says, you're worried about way too much, guys. You know, let me take a nap and everything. But I think he teaches us something very, very important here with what he models. That sleep is this gift from God, and it's an act of trust in God that acknowledges that God is the one who is in control of our lives. Actually, sleep is how we give God the time and the space to be in control, because we are completely out of control when we are asleep. Some of you who are married know that, because the person you sleep with is one of those violent sleepers, you know, and they're flinging their arms. They're out of control totally while they're asleep. My brother was like that. I remember we sharing hotel rooms. Wake up in the morning with bruises, you know, because my brother is just a violent sleeper. He was just completely out of control. But sleep is how we acknowledge to God that he is the one who is in control. So, in light of what all of these passages say, and in light of the fact that most of us, almost all of us in this room, could use a little more sleep, how can we enjoy this gift of sleep more? How can we show our trust in God by developing better sleep habits? I want to give you a few tips, suggestions, and I'll just tell you that I broke most of these last night because I stayed up too late watching Clemson devastate Louisville. It was incredible. But okay, I want you to write these down. Sorry, I wasn't going to say that. The first thing I want you to write down, thinking. I think getting better sleep starts with what you think about sleep. Remember, the past 2 weeks we talked about the way you think is the filter through which you see and interpret the world. And we need to change how we think about sleep. See, what we learn from these verses we just looked at is that sleep is a gift from God. That sleep is really something that we're commanded to do. It's what God gives us because he loves us. Sleep is something that we do to acknowledge our trust in God. Not only that, Jesus modeled sleep. I mean, the Son of God went to bed. He took naps. You would not think that he would need to do that. Didn't he have so much to do? Nope. He needed to sleep. He was working according to the way that God created him to work. This thing about sleep isn't something we just have to do. It's a gift. It's something that we get to do. And the reason we get to sleep is because we have a Heavenly Father who's in control. The reason we get to sleep is that we have a God who's taking care of us and who not only has the whole world in his hands, but who has your world in his hands and my world in his hands. So we can sleep. We need to change our thinking about sleep. Before you go to bed tonight, remind yourself of that. If you lay down this afternoon to take a nap, which is what I'm probably going to do because Liz is working today, so I'm probably going to take a nap. Remind yourself. Sleep is a gift. Let me give you another tip. It has to do with routine. Routine. Studies show that one of our biggest problems when it comes to sleep involves our routine surrounding sleep. Look at this quote by David Murray. He says, if we strive, this is his tip to us, if we strive for consistency in our bedtime, in our rising time, in our pre-bed routine, our bodies will learn the routine, build a rhythm, and inject the right chemicals that prepare us for sleep. Now, most of us, if we're honest, we have poor sleep routines. Like, we don't go to bed at the same times. And let me just say that you're just a victim of modern day society. Think about it for just a minute. This whole idea of not having routines for sleep is a consequence of our modern day society. See, we have this thing called electric lights that allows us to stay up comfortably after dark. And not only that, most of us have the curse and the blessing of things like TV and technology and stuff that has exacerbated our sleep problems because we can't log off or sign off of things. I mean, all of these things that we love that are conveniences, they have become problems when it comes to us developing great sleep routines. So I want to challenge you to discipline yourself. And this is going to sound like a dad, okay? But go to bed at a consistent time every night. And get up at a consistent time every morning. It's as simple as that. Something, if we develop this habit of going to sleep at the same time or around the same time, like I can tell you, I like to get in bed around 9:30. I mean, we're like, I'd go to bed at 8:30 if I could, you know, but kids won't let us do that sometimes. But I if I stay up a little bit past that, like the melatonin that kicked in at 9:30 is gone, you know, and I have trouble going to sleep if it's 10:30 or 11 at night. Because we've developed this habit of going to bed around the same time. You need to develop a good, healthy sleep routine. And some of you are like, well, I just can't do that. Well, it's just you won't do that most of the time. I mean, can't and won't are two, you know, we use can't as an excuse for won't. So develop a healthy routine. I know that if you're a parent of young children, remember that that's a season. and it will pass. Okay, it will pass. So I just encourage you. You will once again get sleep sometime in the future when your kids move out of the house. But maybe not. But develop this habit to have regular sleeping and wake times. I think that establishing consistent sleep routines is really essential. And the next thing I want to suggest goes right along with that. It's I couldn't think of a better term, so I'm just going to call it media silence. Media silence. I just want you to think about all the things that you stimulate your brain with right before bedtime. Like, think about the 2 hours before bed. What are all the things that you stimulate your brain with those 2 hours right before you go to bed? I mean, we've got email, we've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got Instagram, we've got Netflix, or maybe 8 shows that we just binge watched on Netflix. We've got Sports Center, we've got video games, we've got football games, we've got movies, or 2 movies, or 3 movies, because it's so easy just to pull it up on our TV, whatever. You know, I mean, all these things stimulate our brains right before bed, and then we go to bed and we think we're going to go right to sleep. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, you've heard the studies that say that things like this, you know, and our smartphones and our computers, they emit this light that tricks our brain into a wake cycle instead of a sleep cycle. So if you're on your gadget right before bed, like, it's messing with your brain, man, you know? And so I want to give you a couple of suggestions. Actually, play this video that Randy sent me. I thought it was awesome. I didn't know that we used to do this, but this is great. Go ahead.
This is the seal of good practice. It identifies WCBS-TV as a subscriber to the television code of the National Association of Broadcasters. It assures you of high standards for the television programs designed to entertain and inform you. This is WCBS-TV in New York City, transmitting on Channel 2 by authority of the Federal Communications Commission. WCBS-TV is owned by the Columbia Broadcasting System, Incorporated, and operated by the CBS Television Stations Division. The programs of this station are broadcast for viewing by the public without charge and may not be rebroadcast, recorded, or otherwise used without the prior written permission of the Columbia Broadcasting System. Our next regularly scheduled program will come to you at 6:15 a.m. Good morning.
Now, how many of you have ever seen one of those before? Some of the older people in the crowd. You know that television stations used to sign off at night? They used to just go off. Now, that was before my time. I don't remember that, okay? I never saw one of these. I didn't even know what happened until Randy sent it to me. I was like, that is incredible. Like, TV stations in New York City would go off the air for a few hours every night. That does not happen anymore, right? I mean, we've got everything available 24/7. So how can we create some media silence to help us develop healthy sleep patterns? I want to give you a couple of things to think about and maybe to do. The first thing I would say is that I think you need to make your bedroom a media and technology-free zone. Now, this is going to be a challenge for some of you because some of you go to sleep with the TV on, you know. Some of you have TVs in your bedroom. Honestly, we don't have a TV in our bedroom. So we've never had a TV in our bedroom. And it helps sleep. It really does. I would suggest, don't just turn the TV off. Take it out of your bedroom. I think that our bedrooms, this isn't in the Bible, but I think it's a good tip, should be sleep sanctuaries. That's what I think that they should be for, sleep sanctuaries. Watch TV someplace else. Take your TV out of your room. Not only that, don't go to bed with your phone right next to your bed. I know some of you are like, well, that's my alarm clock. You can go to Target and get a $5 alarm clock, okay? My battery I've had in my $5 alarm clock has lasted me. I've had two batteries since I started college in 1992, okay? You don't have to have your phone in your room. Use something else. Make your bedroom a media and technology-free room. Some of you are going to have some trouble with that. Some of you are like, I can't go to sleep without noise on. Well, that's because you've trained yourself to go to sleep with noise on, and it's hindering your sleep. Why don't you try something different for a little bit? Try something different. And here's another idea that I think you should do. Besides having your bedroom being a media and technology-free zone, by the way, this is a family rule for us, right? We have to leave our phones downstairs. We don't let our kids take their phones upstairs, you know. They have to stay downstairs to their anger and disappointment, you know, all that kind of stuff. But second thing I think we should do is to create a media buffer around our sleep. Since screens like this kind of stimulate our brain, what if we just turned all this stuff off an hour before bed? Just turn it off an hour before bed or 2 hours before bed. I mean, do you really need to know what your friend from California just ate that they posted on Facebook right before you go to bed? I mean, we don't, you know. Do you really need to check that email that's going to get your blood pressure to rise right before you go to bed? Nah, don't check it. Turn it off. Gary told me the other day, he said, people keep calling me, I'm just turning my phone off. I think it's a great idea. Just power that sucker down, you know? If the world falls apart, it's okay. People 20 years ago didn't have cell phones, so they couldn't get in touch with you that way anyway. So, you know, things would be okay. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Take these two things, creating a sanctuary, a sleep sanctuary in your bedroom by getting rid of all media and technology and shutting stuff down an hour before you go to bed. I want you to just try that out for a month, just for a month, and then evaluate. Have I slept better over the past month? Have I slept better over the past month? I dare you. Okay, last thing to talk about. We're going to talk more about this one next week because this is huge. But the final tip I want to give you has to do with exercise. Exercise. Now, I just got to state the obvious. If you haven't done anything active during the day, is it any surprise that you're not tired when it comes time to go to bed? You know, you weren't created to sit all the time. Like, God gave you knees and elbows and ankles and these parts that move, and some of our parts move better than others. I realize that. But God created you to move. He created you to be active, not to be sedentary. And so, incorporate some exercise. There's a study I came across out of, what was the name of the university? It's out of England. Loughborough, which is a great school, Loughborough University. That's a L-U. Loughborough University. But they did a study, And they said that if you exercise between 3 and 6 hours before bedtime, you'll have improved sleep. You'll sleep better. And I was like, well, duh. I mean, it just makes sense. If you do something to tire yourself out, you're probably going to go to sleep a little bit better. I mean, those of us that moved some pews yesterday, we were tired after that, you know? You sleep better after you exercise. So think about these four little tips that I've had. Change your thinking about sleep, create a healthy sleep routine to creating this media silence surrounding your sleep routine, and then exercising. I think these are the way that we push the reset button on the sleep habits that we've developed. And some of you in this room, it's time for you to start sleeping better. And here's why I want to talk about this. I want you to, you know, one of my goals for all of you is to grow in Christlikeness. I want you to be like Jesus. I think this is one of those core base level things that's important to every other part of your spiritual development. You're not going to grow to become like Jesus if your brain is not functioning the way it's supposed to be, if your body can't do what God has created your body to do. This is an important habit to develop because it's directly linked to how God has created you to function and to work. So what can you do? What do you need to do to start to develop these healthy sleep habits? What do you need to do to push the reset button on your sleep? Some of you, you just need to go home and take a nap today, you know? Some of you need to incorporate some of these things that we've talked about. But I would love it if we were a church of people who are well-rested. Nobody's ever said that, you know, in church. But man, what a great thing. Because, you know, have you ever been around somebody that's well-rested? Man, they're pretty fun to be around. They're chill, you know? Here's the real issue. Sleep is, it's an act of trust in God. And that's what I really want for you. I want for you to be a group of people who have a life that's defined by I'm trusting God. And sleep is saying, God, I trust you. Take care of my stuff. I'm leaning into you. I've given it all to you. I'm going to bed. Let's pray. God, thanks for letting us talk about something I've never talked about before, but really kind of fun to talk about sleep. I'm so grateful for the gift of sleep. And I know some of us have sleep issues and we need help with this and there's all kinds of stuff, but there are certain things that we can do to improve our sleep and to take advantage of this gift that you've given us. And I ask that you would help us to do that. Give us the courage to create sleep sanctuaries out of our bedrooms, God. I mean, I love TV, you know that. But we don't need one in our bedrooms. It's a distraction so often, not just from our sleep, but from you. And we're so chained to our phones and to our email and all that stuff. And it's interfering, not just with our sleep, but with all kinds of other parts of our lives. And so just help us to have the discipline to create some space. God, really, we want to do all this because we trust you and we want to acknowledge that you're in control, because we're not. We try and act like we are, but we're not. And so we want to develop this habit really as a prayer to say, God, we trust you. You're in control and we love you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.